You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here at Inspired News Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mind Your Own Business. I am your host, your guide, and your mentor for this hour. We are going to bring you, as we do every single week, some of the greatest entrepreneurs, some of the greatest people that are out there changing the world, as I say, one person at a time. But today, I have to tell you, is an exceptional day. You have decided to pick up and download or name a podcast that is could quite possibly change your life or change the life of someone that you love. And I am talking about Johnny Crowder and Cope Notes. I am so excited to have Johnny with us here today. Johnny, welcome to Mind Your Own Business. And how the heck are you today?
What an intro. Honestly, thank you for having me. And I always try to provide sort of extraneous information when people ask me how I am, because I never want to just say fine. So I'm doing particularly well because this morning I made eggs and I got part of the shell in the pan, and I, like a surgeon, extracted the piece of shell, and it was so small. It was like infinitesimally small, and I almost couldn't even spot it, but I took a butter knife and I very carefully removed it, and I just felt like parading around my house. Now, there's got to be a Medal of Honor for something like that.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. There's a great start to the day. You very quite possibly saved a filling or a tooth today.
Oh, yes.
Well, that is the best answer to how are you today that I've ever had. So first off, for all of my listeners out there right now, I've got to tell you guys, you have picked the best of the best of Mind Your Own Business to download to stream live today, because Johnny Crowder is one of those young men that is absolutely, I say this all the time, we're changing the world one person at a time. And most of the entrepreneurs that I have on my show, most of the business people, they really are. They've got great products, great services, and they're actually changing people, and they're changing the face of this great world that we live in. And Johnny has gone a step further, and he's actually saving people. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart, because I'm not only a fanboy, but I'm also a subscriber, and I'm going to tell you more about that later. My entire family, my wife and my oldest son, are all subscribers, and we're going to talk about Cope Notes today. We're going to talk about what it is that these people are receiving that are saving lives, that are helping people. But Johnny, why don't you take just 5 minutes and tell us a little bit about Cope Notes, what it is, and then we're going to dive into the origin story, because my listeners love to know where these entrepreneurs come from. How did you get your feet on this path, and when did you first realize this was going to be your calling? So tell us a little bit about Cope Notes, and then I'll ask you some origin questions.
Okay, I'll keep it shorter than 5 minutes, because Q&A is always the most fun part. So if you're listening to this podcast, first of all, thank you. And second of all, Cope Notes is a mental health resource that's pretty atypical. So we provide text messages. We send our users text messages that slowly improve mental and emotional health over time. So we'll send a psychology fact today and an exercise tomorrow and advice the next day and encouragement the next day. And all the texts, no matter what the text contains, it's written by a peer with lived experience, most likely me. And it's reviewed by a panel of mental health professionals to make sure that it's actually accurate and effective. And these texts show up in your phone at random times. And the goal is for these texts to interrupt your prevailing negative thought patterns. So if you're in traffic or you cracked an egg wrong and you have an eggshell in your breakfast, these texts are designed to interrupt those patterns and help you rewire your own brain.
That is so. I'm going to tell you from a personal experience now, guys. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. What Johnny just told you is the clinical definition of what Cope Notes is. But let me tell you what it really is. Sorry. I don't mean to take over, but I have to tell
you,
I'm such an enthusiastic fan, because when he says it is interrupts that pattern, it is so true. It is a distraction from those things that are causing you to have all of this mental distress and to cause the negativity. If you're, I mean, heaven forbid you're sitting there scrolling through Facebook and you get this really positive text message of encouragement. And I mean, it's like, wow, exactly what I needed to distract me from all of the, you know, loathing that I was doing, self and otherwise, you know, on social media. Or I'm watching something on television that is just the worst, you know, thing that I could be doing. Or I'm just gotten a huge fight with my boss at work, and I'm sitting here and I'm going, and then all my phone goes ding, and you know, we're all programmed, as soon as you get that text message, to look down, and you look down and there's this, you're loved, you're needed, you're part of the world, it's important that you're here. Oh my gosh, that's exactly what I needed. I personally, and I hope you do too, believe in divine intervention. You don't know when this text message is going to arrive, but it seems to arrive at the moment that you need it the most. Now, some days it's great, and other days it's even better. So
I always say that some days you will be thankful for us, and some days you will be very annoyed because we are bringing something to your attention that you didn't want to work on. So exactly. There are sometimes, actually the other day, I'm going to read a text that made me particularly frustrated, a Cope Notes text that came in. I showed my sister and I was like, ugh, I'm so mad about this. So this came in. I was so frustrated and being impatient about, you know, everything. I'm 27, so I'm impatient about everything. And I was particularly frustrated about this one partnership that I've been trying to get off the ground for like a year with Cope Notes. And this text comes in while I'm complaining about it, mind you. So I'm not perfect either, by the way. And this text comes in and it says, it's a quote from George Young, and then there's a sentence after it. So the quote is, "Life passes most people by while they're making grand plans for it," by George Young. And then underneath it says, "Don't let your hope for the future distract you from this moment right now." And I realized that I was spending my time with my sister complaining about something that isn't happening. And I was annoyed, but annoyed in a good way. I'm like, you know what, Cope Notes, shut up. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear that right now. But it really did snap me out of that negative loop and help me re-engage with my sister.
Yeah, so you go over and give her a hug and say, "So how's your day?"
Yeah, shift the focus off me for a minute.
Oh, see, that's exactly right. That is an exact example. So anyway, that's what Cope Notes is. So let's dive into the origin story. Let's talk about, I know, after just 27 years, I mean, I don't mind, my listeners know me, they know who I am. They know that I have sweaters and shoes that are older than you.
Wow.
So let's dive into the origin story. Let's talk a little bit about when you were a young man, and let's talk, and I know it's part of your story, but let's talk a little bit about the struggles and kind of, you know, the different paths that you took, because I mean, music was a huge part of your life, or still is. And let's talk a little bit about the different paths that opened up to you and how, you know, you found your feet on this path with Cope Notes as a parallel to what you're doing right now with everything else that's going on. So just pick a place on that time continuum and plop down on it, and let's just start talking about what it was like to be a young Johnny Crowder.
It was miserable. No exaggeration. I actually feel really, really young now. So I'm 27, and there are times when I feel like a lot of my life has passed me by, like I missed it, just because I was dealing with so many different mental health conditions and dealing with an abusive household. And I think that at times I feel like I didn't get to be a kid. So part of it makes me feel old, like I completely missed my whole childhood, like I was a spectator. But the other side of me makes it feel like I just started living like 4 or 5 years ago. So I feel very, very young in that respect. I think growing up, I knew that my living situation was atypical and unhealthy, but I didn't really know what to do about it. I was sort of afraid to speak up to any adults about what I was experiencing. And then when it came to my mental health conditions, I had this false understanding that everyone else must be feeling the same thing as me. And half of it was I didn't want to think that I was too different. And the other half was, oh no, if there is something going on, am I going to have to go see a therapist or am I going to have to take medication? I'd rather just not say anything so everyone leaves me alone.
Hmm. I understand that. Okay. So, and then when did, as you were going through, I'm assuming this is in your adolescence. So when did you realize that there had to be a change? And maybe not you took control, but when did the situation start to evolve so that you could see some light at the end of the tunnel that wasn't a train?
I don't know that I saw any light at this point, but there was definitely a catalyst. When I was in high school, I had a pretty pronounced temper, and there was one day in which, so my brothers really knew how to get under my skin. They knew I had OCD and I was germophobic, so they would like lick their whole hand and wipe it on my sandwich or something and like really wow. Just drive me up a wall. And there was one day where I punched a hole in the wall of the hallway of the house that I lived in. And then I got in my car and drove maybe a couple miles away, and I slept in my car that night. But I didn't have my cell phone with me, so I just drove. And then I couldn't bring myself to go home, so I crashed in my car that night. And I didn't crash my car, but I slept in my car. And then when I got home, my mom was rightfully furious with me and said that she had already called the police. And I could either willingly go to seek treatment, or she could Baker Act me. And I was like, all right, I guess I will go.
And then that's when the first time that you were diagnosed with the clinical diagnosis?
Yes. I was so unwilling to see any mental health professionals before that. But then when I was like, you know, either I can go or you're going to drag me there kicking and screaming, I might as well go. And that's when kind of the gravity of the situation sunk in, because before that I felt like I could make it through it on my own without anybody's help. And then when I really sat down with a clinician and they were like, hey, this is some pretty serious stuff. So don't take it. Don't just think that it's not a big deal and you can save it for later. I was like, wow, okay, fine. I didn't have a good attitude, but that is when I started working on it.
And were you self-medicating? I mean, is this a drugs, alcohol kind of situation? Or were you, you know, a straight edge and just already living, you know, the drugs and alcohol in your brain?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to have been sober throughout all of this. I'm the only sober person in my family. So I think growing up, I saw a lot of drug and alcohol use and how it contributed to violent behavior and abuse. And I just thought, well, if I'm already as angry and frustrated as I am now, there's not a chance that I'm putting anything else in me that could amplify that. Because the last thing I ever wanted to do was hurt anybody else. I couldn't even dream of it. So, I'm very fortunate to have been sober all throughout that and even to this day.
Wow. So were you also, because I know music is a big part of what you were doing at the time. So when did the music manifest itself as, you know, I don't want to say part of your treatment, but part of your story? When did the music manifest itself? When were you, you know, was this a time when you were, as you were growing up? I mean, were you listening? Were you playing? What was the story behind your music and the love that you had for it?
Yeah, ever since I was a kid, I don't know if any listeners have ever seen something like this, but there's this like trope from old movies where a girl would be on her bed with her chin in her hands and she's like laying on her stomach and she's kicking her feet up in the air and she's like on the phone with a friend or something. Like that was me on the floor with my stereo. Like I would lean forward with my chin in my palms and stare at the speakers and just imagine being on stage. And you know, even as I got a little older, I mean, I started playing guitar when I was 8, and I noticed that if I would get really frustrated and really worked up or really depressed, any sort of strong negative emotion, if I were to turn on some music, literally any music, or pick up my guitar and play any song, it calmed me down more than anyone or anything else.
So that became when we talk about self-medicating, that became your mantra, your medication, that became your process by dissipating those negative thoughts.
Oh, even to this day, I actually have a private playlist on Spotify that I saved for myself, and I literally call it Calm Down. So luckily I don't have outbursts like I used to. I'm a lot more controlled now, but there are times when I'll feel myself getting really frustrated or really discouraged, or even like say traffic is really bad and I'm going to be late for a meeting. And I'm like, wow, I only left 25 minutes early and I'm somehow going to be late. So in the car, I put on my Calm Down playlist and maybe I drum on my steering wheel a little bit. And it really, I think it's the one thing that's always worked for me. It has a 100% success rate.
That's fantastic. Well, that's excellent. Okay. And then as we move ahead, so you're now in some form of treatment, whether willfully or against your will.
Yeah.
So you're at least finding out, the clinicians are now saying, okay, well, here are, you know, we're starting to identify some of the situation. Now, I'm assuming now that is there a medication? Is there therapy? Are there things that are starting to change, that are starting to transform your life as you move from, as you transition from that adolescence young man, you know, into more of an adult? So what's happening now as you're migrating into that new life lessons and the new era where, I mean, you've got to be a responsible adult all of a sudden. I'm doing air quotes. You can't see that. But, you know, now all of a sudden there's this new level and this new chapter as you're turning the page. And is this something that now you're starting to identify and it starting to figure out some of the things that are going on? Or is it just a Band-Aid over, you know, a gaping wound?
I wish the story that I could tell was, yeah, I started going to therapy and then I figured it all out and then I was healthier and then that's the end of the story. But it was definitely not a linear progression. There were huge peaks and valleys in my recovery. So I think my biggest problem looking back was my philosophy regarding treatment. So I did have to attend mandatory counseling, and I did also see a psychiatrist and take medication. And I think my philosophy was sort of my problem. I kept thinking like, well, if I show up to therapy and I take my medication, then I'll be fixed. And it's like, okay, well, the term fixed is indicative of one of the many problems that your philosophy is riddled with right now. So
there's the first one. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. Okay. I just figured if I could offload that responsibility to my therapist or to my medication, or to any treatment program, that all I had to do was show up and then someone else could do the work for me. So it actually took, you know, I went to therapy very consistently for a while, and then I stopped and would only see a psychiatrist, and then I went to see a different therapist and then would stop. And it was like all of these, it was a very rocky recovery. And I think it was in large part due to this false idea that I had that, well, my medication and my therapist should be doing the work for me. And really, really those things only serve to help you do the work. No one can do that work for you.
Right, which is why I love the mantra that you have that, you know, when you talk about, if you go to copenotes.com and you go to, you know, a little bit about their, you know, look at their website and you can see the support they have. And it, I love the mantra is life is tough, but so are you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love that. I love
that. We cannot guarantee. I wish we could say life is great. That's the mantra that I wish we could have. But the truth is, life is going to kick you, and believe it or not, you can become strong enough to take it and maybe even start kicking back.
Exactly. And that's I tell people all the time, that's what, you know, that, so when you go on Facebook, it's everybody saying, look how great my life is and you suck. Versus life is tough and so are you. So I am definitely going to be sporting some of the Cope Notes merch real soon.
Oh, yes.
Well, okay, so now you're deep into this rocky road to recovery. And I mean, this, whether it's 1 year or 5 years, the reason why I like to talk about the origin story is because you come to this from a position of strength. I mean, you lived it. You went through this. This isn't like, you know, you were sitting in a boardroom in a suit and, you know, with $100 million in the bank, and you walked in one day and say, hey, guys, we're going to start a new app. You know, it's like, I want the listeners to understand that this comes from a place of, I don't want to say necessity because that's not really the right word, but it comes from a place of experience. So where did Cope Notes fall out of this process? So when did the light bulb go off? How did this evolve? Whether it was, you know, your sister texting you or whatever, how did you realize one day, this is something that could help other people because it helps me or whatever? How did that all, you know, kind of germinate in your brain and then bring it out into reality?
So there are two coincidental origin stories. So not coincidental in that what are the odds, but coincidental in that they were happening at the exact same time. So on one hand, I got involved in mental health advocacy through the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, and that was back in 2011. So I was attending UCF in Orlando for psychology, of course. And I started doing advocacy. I would go and speak at schools, and the peer support classes and groups that they had, and started speaking at conferences and just really talking about suicide awareness and prevention and sobriety and consent and how to speak to a loved one that might be experiencing some sort of mental health condition. And through my work with them, I launched a few initiatives that I, in less than a year each, I learned just simply could not scale. So the first version, I don't really talk about this a lot, but I'll say that I made an in-person version of Cope Notes, if you can imagine that, and it did not scale at all. And then I quickly realized that I needed to make a more scalable version. So then I made a version of Cope Notes, and this is back like 2015, maybe 2016. Then I made a version that was like, name your communication method. So you could pick Facebook message or Skype or email or a phone call, whatever. And everyone kept choosing text message. So I think I knew that I wanted to do something in the peer support space. I just wasn't 100% sure on the how. And while this was happening, I was hearing common complaints from people like, oh, I wish this was anonymous, or I wish I didn't have to book an appointment, stuff like that. And then the other thing that's happening at this exact same time, and I talk about it, I had a TEDx talk that just came out last week, and I talk about the origin story. So I'm going to keep this brief. If you want to hear the whole thing, definitely go listen to the TED talk. But long story short, I was leaving sticky notes for myself all around my house to try to interrupt my own negative thought patterns with something positive. And the problem is, you know how you can't tickle yourself?
Yes.
It's like that. You can't, it's really hard to surprise yourself. Like I wrote the note, and then I stuck it in the mirror or under a under a pair of shoes or something. So because I did it, I'm not really surprising myself. So I decided to text one of my notes to a bunch of my friends, just unsolicited, to see what would happen. And everyone responded like, whoa, how did you know I needed to hear that? And applying it to their own life. And I'm like, dude, I had no freaking idea that you needed to hear that. I just sent it. And that's when I realized, like, our brains are so good at assigning value to things that we receive. And maybe that could be leveraged to foster healthier habits.
That's fantastic. Oh my gosh. I've got chills right now. I just got goosebumps because that is exactly, we've all lived that. Johnny, we have all lived there. That we've all been through that. A friend texts you something at a moment that you know you need it, and you don't even know you want it or that you need it until you receive it. I mean, mm-hmm. And then I love what you just said, and it bears repeating. We put value on the things that we receive. So there's a value assigned to that. So, and it's also based on a very complex, a very complex mental idea of how we put value on it, by who the person sent it, and, you know, the time of day and when it happened and what was said. And I mean, there's this huge, you know, mathematical equation going on in our brains that we assign value to, and all of a sudden there it is. And I love, so one thing I want to say as a huge fan of Cope Notes is I want to say to the listeners right now, here's how. If you want to start surprising somebody, if you want to put something positive in the path of somebody that you love, go to cope.notes or copenotes.com and buy a subscription. That's what I did for my son. Buy a gift subscription and don't even tell him. Just sign him up, and the next thing, or him or her, and the next thing you know, positive reinforcement and positive information is going to start arriving on his phone, and he's going to have no idea where it comes from. And it's going to be divine providence is going to just intervene like crazy. And it's going to be fantastic. This is amazing. I love the fact that is how it came about. So where are you today now? I mean, obviously we've talked a little bit about copenotes.com, but where are you today in the space that you live? And then what's next for Cope Notes?
Right now, I mean, I know this probably wasn't what you're asking, but geographically I live in Tampa, Florida, but that's for right
now.
I
meant as a corporation.
Yeah. So Cope Notes launched March 1st will be our 2-year anniversary of the first text we ever sent. So I'm very excited about that.
Congrats.
And thank you very much. Everyone said when I started this, they're like, oh, most companies don't make it past the first year. And then I hit 1 year and they're like, well, most companies don't make it past second year. And I'm like, stop saying that. Like, I'm already scared. It's already so much pressure. So hitting that 2-year mark feels great. And I actually just refreshed our metrics, because I was, as I'm on the call with you, I wanted to mention some of the ways that we measure success. And I realized that at some point between yesterday and today, we hit our 81st country. So as of some point yesterday or today, we have users in 81 countries across the globe. And really our goal is, as we move forward, we're really trying to do more partnerships. So right now we have a lot of people, like you said, they're purchasing gift subscriptions for friends or family members. They're purchasing subscriptions for themselves. So they are choosing to grow in that direction. But as we move forward, we're trying to really capitalize on the idea that I don't even think capitalize is the right word. I think that we are trying to embolden the idea that there's strength in numbers as care providers. So, say you go to a school and your school has a student wellness program. Cope Notes wants to partner with that program, not replace it. We're not replacing anybody. We want to partner with that program to provide Cope Notes to you for free. And if you work at a business or an organization or a nonprofit, we want to partner with the employee wellness program to provide Cope Notes to you for free. Or if you have an insurance plan or you attend treatment somewhere, we want to partner with those organizations to get this daily support into the hands of people who could benefit from it.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. Because then the beautiful part about it is that if I see the value of it, then obviously I get to then, you know, gift that to my friends and family around me because I got it and I got introduced to it through my wellness program at work. That's fantastic. Awesome. So I have a couple of technical kind of geeky questions for you. Is this machine learning? Is this AI? I know somebody is physically writing the text, and you say they're peer reviewed over through a panel of mental health professionals, but is there a machine that's randomizing them? Is it AI? Are there patterns that you're watching through users? Obviously I don't want to get my text message at 2 a.m. because right. I may not be up, but if I am one of those people that works nights, does the machine know that I read my text at 2 a.m. so it sends it? What is the kind of the technical side behind it?
Yeah. So just in case people are listening and they're having some weird like dystopia vision in their head of like some iRobot stuff, it is we don't collect any personal data at all. So if you were to sign up right now, I mean it, you listening, if you were to sign up in this moment right now, I would have no way of knowing that you did that because we don't collect information on people. So we don't have names or demographic information or zip codes, anything like that, which believe it or not,
I'm a signed up registered. So me, my wife and my son, and I can attest to that. They did not collect any information from me other than a phone number.
Yeah.
So where do you want it delivered?
I actually didn't even know that you were subscribed. So that was a cool little Easter egg for me. but yeah, as you can imagine, that makes it pretty difficult to, make sure that we are having a positive impact when we don't know, like, well, this person lives in Des Moines and they're 55 and we can sub in this demographic data, but we're really trying to protect people's privacy and anonymity. So what we do is we run, the way I talk about it with my CTO is like we built all these little robots, which is not, they're not physical robots, but we wrote all of these scripts that help make these decisions. So the simplest way I can word it is we do our absolute very best to make sure that we don't text anyone in the middle of the night. So our typical text window is between 8:30 a.m. and I think 10:30 p.m. local time. So that information is actually garnered from your opt-in. So if you sign up on your phone, the only piece of data that we need aside from your phone number is your time zone. And then we make sure that we don't send any messages outside of that. But as far as the content, the simplest way I can describe it is that we built a little robot, and this robot randomly selects a text, randomly selects a time, randomly selects a day, and randomly selects a user, and pairs those things together, and then actually artificially randomizes the delivery process to make sure that you don't accidentally get a text, you know, at the same time 2 days in a row, which could happen if it was completely random. So we actually built an artificial randomizer that makes sure that that doesn't happen. And really, what we wanted to do was make sure that, you know, if you're signed up and your son is signed up and your wife is signed up, that all of you guys aren't getting the same text at the same time every day. So
we don't even get the same text each day. We actually compare Cope Notes.
Oh yes.
My wife gets one and she says to me, "Did you get your Cope Notes yet today?" And I said, "I haven't gotten it." And then later on, she'll hear my phone go off and she says, "Is that your Cope Notes?" I said, "Yes." And she says, "Is it this one?" And I said, "No, it's not that one."
That's amazing. Yeah. We actually have, we've had a few people request, like, can I receive the same text as my son, you know, or something like that, if they want to do a family plan. But typically, there are no two users that receive the same text on the same day at the same time. And all of that is controlled by scripts that we wrote. And really the purpose behind that is to make sure that when you receive a text from us, you don't think, well, you know, this was kind of for me, but not really. It went out to like 50,000 people. No, it was for you. You're the only person in the universe to get that text right now. So that begs the question, why? Like, why you? Why now? Exactly. How can this be applied? And that's really where the brain starts doing the heavy lifting.
That Johnny, I wish this could go on for another hour, but we're running so we're so running out of time. So before we get off of here, though, I want to talk about how do my listeners get engaged? How do we get involved? What are the things that you need from us as a resource? Other than, obviously, I'm going to say it again. I'll put all of this up on Inspired News Radio. I'll have all the links. I'll have the great photos of Johnny up there. I'll have everything that you know and love about Mind Your Own Business. It'll all be there on my page. You just simply go to inspirednewsradio.com. You click on my Mind Your Own Business page, and man, Johnny will be there with his headshot, and all the information will be there, all the links. But you simply right now, do not hesitate unless you're driving, right? Okay. But if you're on your commute, on your way home right now, or on your way to work and you're in the train, go to copenotes.com. That's the first thing you need to do. Just go there, sign up. You can get a free trial. I don't even know how long is the free trial.
So we offer 2 weeks free to anyone and everyone.
Right.
So no strings attached at all. It won't trick you into paying. It won't collect any data on you. It really is no strings attached.
Exactly. And then for less than, and I can't quote the exact number, but it's less than $10. I know it's not real expensive. It's less than $10 a month. What is the price?
So yeah, no matter what you choose, it's less than $10 a month. So we have monthly subscriptions for $9.99 a month. We have annual subscriptions for $8.99 a month. And then if you are trying to connect with us on a partnership level for your school or workplace or insurance provider or whoever, there's special pricing for that. But the free trial, like I said, is
for anybody.
Completely free, completely for anybody. I would say anyone middle school and up. So I don't know that an elementary schooler would 100% understand what we're doing, but you never know. Some of those kids are pretty dang smart.
That's true. And the beautiful part about it is that I know that we chose the $8.99 a month is what I think it was, but I knew it was under $10. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful part about it is 100% anonymous. It is targeted and meant for you. So go to copenotes.com, start the free trial immediately. Just click on it right now, get signed up, get put in your time zone. It's a totally anonymous. You will immediately start to understand, read the texts, read them, internalize them, bring them into your life, have a conversation, do it as a family, and then have a conversation about why you received it and what you received that day. That's what's happening at the Sullivan household. We are so, we're such fans that we're talking about how do we get involved by, you know, gifting this, putting this out as a Christmas gift or as an Easter gift or whatever for everybody that you know, right? So, you know, spend $120 a year instead of buying the next mindless whatever, you know, pair of shoes or sweater or coat or whatever for Christmas. Give the gift that for an entire year is going to help that loved one, you know, just be positively reinforced. And we're not talking about people that are suffering from mental illness. Of course, that's a part of the demographic, but this is everyday life. It's the everyday stress of life. It's traffic. It's money. It's your relationships with other people. It's just the everyday life bearing down on us. And if you're of a particular persuasion from political or loved ones or anything else that's going on in your life, you can't imagine, I can't describe to you how much this disrupts that negative thought pattern and changes your life. And now, is it going to be like tomorrow you're going to be, you know, I'm doing air quotes again, fixed? No, that's not the case. But it sure as heck does make life better. I mean, the sunset gets a little brighter. The sunrise gets a little, I mean, I know this sounds so corny. I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's just, it just puts a little bit better hue on life, because whether you're sitting in traffic or you're like Johnny said earlier, or you're right in the middle of a fight, can you imagine being right in the middle of a fight with one of your loved ones, or you're arguing about, I don't know, something stupid, the trash or whatever, and your phone goes ding and you look down on it and it says, by the way, embrace the ones that you love today. Oh my gosh.
I mean, I also want to say that even if you're listening to this and you think, well, you know, this isn't really for me and I'm fine, but my sister is the one who needs it, or, you know, whatever it is that you're thinking, I just want to say that even if a text comes in when nothing is going wrong, there have been times when I'm feeling just fine and a text comes in and it really resonates with me. So it's not just about fixing bad things, it's about reinforcing those good patterns as well. So I really encourage you. I know that there are people listening right now who say, oh, surely not I would never need anything like this. And it's like, if you have a brain and you live on the planet that we live on and you have a cell phone, I think if you use the free trial and decide that you never want to use it and you never pay me a penny, I will gladly eat the cost of your free trial, because you got to use something that I built for 2 weeks, and I did build it for you. I didn't build it for your sister. I didn't build it for your friends. I built it for you. So please shove the self-stigma aside and use it for a couple weeks and just let it speak to you.
Fantastic. I couldn't have said it better. That is fantastic. It's a great way to end the show today. Please send me the link to the TED Talk, and I will put it up on our page along with that so everybody can see the TED Talk. I'm super excited to see it myself. But I say it every week, if you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, inspirednewsradio.com is a platform that we put out positive programs that are delivered to the world that are designed specifically to inspire, inform, educate, and motivate. And by gosh, today we did that. Johnny Crowder, the CEO and founder of Cope Notes, is crushing it out there, saving lives every day, changing the world one person at a time. And now I'm going to add to my mantra, changing the world one text at a time. I love it. I absolutely love how we're embracing this new line of communication that couldn't have even happened, you know, 50 years ago. This wouldn't even be possible. 20 years ago, it wouldn't even be possible to where we are today. Fantastic. Love it, love it, love it. If you're listening to Mind Your Own Business, I want to say thank you so much. First of all, I say it every week, I couldn't do what I do without you, the listener. Every week, you send me such positive reinforcement. You let me know that what we're bringing to the world is good, and we're going to continue to do it for you. So thank you so much for that. Check out wherever you get your podcasts. It doesn't matter. We're on all the platforms, iTunes, Apple, Google, Spotify, everywhere, you know, Lisbon, everywhere you go. Mind Your Own Business is the name of the show. Please subscribe. Go to the bottom of the page right there and just hit subscribe. It'll let you know when we have new episodes out so that you can continue to hear about these great entrepreneurs that are out there changing the world. Johnny Crowder, my guest today, I want to thank you so very much. Any final words before we sign off?
Yes, I am. I totally forgot to mention that Cope Notes also has a podcast. So,
well, why in the world aren't we hosting you?
Yeah, so if you go to copenotes.com, the podcast tab is right there in the main nav, or you can look it up, the Cope Notes podcast. It is wherever you listen to podcasts. And I think if you are listening to this podcast, you might enjoy some of the conversations that we have around mental and emotional health, how people deal with stress and pressure. And we get pretty goofy as well. So if you want to check that out, you are more than welcome to take a listen.
And make sure you send me that link too, and we'll put it up on Inspired News Radio and all the places that we post this show. We will make sure that everybody knows in the show notes how to find your podcast, because there's not enough podcasts out there. Everybody, you know, there's just not enough out there in the world. There's only 700,000 new ones a day or something like that. So
I love it.
We're so glad that you are doing that, and we're so glad that you're part of the technology that's out there. So, like I say every week when we sign off, you know, mind your own business, because nobody else is going to. See you next week.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business. right here on inspirednewsradio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs in the world. You can reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio. Always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows, too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.